Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
The other thing about the movie Wildcats, and not only did it have Woody Harrelson in it when he was like 12 years old, it's one of those 500 films from the 80s that ended with a bunch of white people standing around rapping. It's got, and I'll bring it in, I think I've got it on DVD at home. It's got Goldie Hawn and a bunch of white men, including Woody Harrelson, standing around rapping in a stilted wooden fashion about football. It's fantastic. It's like if you ever, I am one of three people on earth ever to have seen a movie called The Long Shot with, wait for it, Harvey Korman and Tim Conway, also Jonathan Winters and Ted Wass. Ted Wass, best known to people as the Billy Wayne character from Oh God, You Devil. And so here's the great thing about the movie The Long Shot. It's about three schlubs that bet on horses all the time. A movie seen by no one, probably not even most of the production staff. Features the very first, I believe, filmic rap performance by Ice-T. And the movie has him, it's in a quote too. You know, song by Ice-T. And it's Ice-T and Tim Conway rapping together about a horse. It really is the best thing ever. All right. Hey, it's a minute and 43 seconds after the hour of 12, and this is the month of May in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed and fetid studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We appreciate you coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And the big news of the day is Steven Seagal is now one of our MySpace friends. Woot! Is he in our top eight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah! Look at that!
He's number one in our top eight.
He's number one in our hearts.
I didn't think he'd
ever. So that goes to show that really was him. Putting to rest any speculation that we were saddled with an imposter yet.
You would not believe, or perhaps you will, the number of sound bites that I got sent to me. Everybody who has a Steven Seagal film, DVD, VHS, everybody who's ever met him, everybody who's ever seen anything on television with him, I got probably 45 emails last night. People are like, here's a please to listen to attach Steven Seagal sound. And he always sounds like that. Somebody sent me a Steven Seagal soundboard, too. We might use that later on. And it's just a whole lot of... So it really is him. He just sounds like a low-rent Captain Kurtz all the time. So anyway. Well, we'll talk more about that.
And are we going to play... there's also some clarifying that we're going to do for some parts of the show yesterday. Are we going to play some of that?
Some clarifying.
What needs clarifying?
Oh! Is that like a product from Max Factor? No, with clarifying.
It gives your hair more body.
We're going to give the show more volume and bounce. All right.
No, you and I were discussing earlier that you stumbled across something on the show yesterday after re-listening to it.
No.
I know what you're talking about. Let me just say this, though, that if I were writing wacky liners for a hip-hop radio station, that'd be the first thing I did. Something about Power 96 gives your stereo more volume and bounce. Hey, just take that idea. I'm not going to use it. I got ideas to spare, baby. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like, rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Well, I have to just tell you this. Well, let me just tease, first of all, what's coming up. We got the top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head. They actually had a scientific survey to determine this. And it's because of that stupid... which, it's in my head like a tapeworm now, and I can't get rid of it.
Is that an actual song, or is that somebody's creation?
It is an actual song. It is actually... I swear to you, here is the fantastic and terrible thing about our audience. And I say this with the utmost respect, because they're really no different than any of us. But you know that the defining characteristic of Sarah, myself, you, that we've all just got useless, pointless information stuck in our head. This is the only job any of us are equipped to do. I've talked about this recently, that this is a bit of a specialized skill set. There's nothing else I could do. As demonstrated by the fact that when I didn't have a radio show, I sat on my couch for 11 months and did nothing. I did nothing. Sat around and wondered why no one would hire me. It might be because I spent the top of the hour talking about Steven Seagal and Finnish folk songs. That could be part of it. I don't know. Anyway. What the hell was I talking about? Oh, and anyway, so it is a bit of a specialized skill set that I've got. So I have all of this useless information in my head, and so does Sarah about different things, so do you about
more
certain
than anyone.
Things. But then you think of the audience, and it's thousands of people. Thousands upon thousands of people with all kinds of pointless, useless information. And just like this show is the only thing we can do with our skills, listening to and contributing to this show is the only thing that the audience can do with most of that information.
And
their friends don't care.
We thank them for emailing it every day, too. It makes our jobs a lot easier.
Their friends don't care. Their family members don't care. People that they're sleeping with don't care. Would you like to know about the history of the Green Hornet? No, I would not. No, I don't care. Thank you. Would you like to know my dissertation on nipples on the bat suit? No. No one cares. But we care. So it is, we do have this fantastic symbiotic relationship with the audience. In that they care about our useless crap, we care about their useless crap, no one else cares about any of us. So we're really, we really are matched, so we are all each other has here. But so the upshot of that is every time I say something like, what's up with that crazy Finland song or whatever, I know the entire history of the song. I know when it was written. I know who wrote it. I know all the different versions of it. I've got 700 different remixes of it people have sent me. I know which section of the song has been taken out and looped. I know what kind of chord progression and harmony structure the song uses. Everybody on earth has sent me. And in case you're not, in case you're not really familiar with Sarah, can you drop the mono bed for just a second? We'll just give a little. This is what we're talking about, by the way, in case there was any doubt.
I love this song.
Oh, you're going to hear it a lot today because I got like 18 different versions of it people have sent me. The techno mix, the metal mix, the rap mix.
I hope somebody does it during American Idol season finale tonight.
That's a great idea.
Of course it is.
Sarah's going to learn this, and she's going to perform it live at a listener party, and I'm going to be doing a jig.
Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
I'm going to be doing a little clog dance next to her. What was my point? Oh, so because of this, we found this scientific survey, the top five songs, pop songs, most likely to be stuck in your head. And we'll be counting those later. All right, you can bring that back up. No, thank you. There you go. Ed McCarthy's going to be here talking about the Jimmy Hoffa's bones. And I have several worst things ever. You don't even know. I have something that's going to make Sarah feel better about where she used to work and the fact that she doesn't. I have something that's going to make Sarah feel better about where she works in the morning now. I have something that's going to make all of you feel better about the jobs you have. What else? And that's it. A bunch of other stuff that we may or may not even get to. And then we got to talk about the everything that happened yesterday. We are joined today by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's sitting there ably in the control seat as she always is.
Hello.
How are you?
I was so excited when Steven Seagal added us as a friend.
Now, Tim,
and I know it's not him. I know it's one of his little lackey
one of his
boys.
Flunkies.
But yeah.
He couldn't even lift the phone yesterday. I can't even. You know, he reminds me of more than anything else is Gary Busey in that episode of Entourage where he's just a whole lot of.
Busey at the beach.
Busey at the beach.
Yeah.
Is totally what it is. Where he's talking to turns like, I could snap your sternum by ramming my head into your chest, and then I could lift up my head and knock at your teeth.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
The ocean is physics and movement. Quantum energy all combining, Turtle. You're part of it. You know, and then he just dumps the water on his head for no reason. That's all I did with the big Entourage marathon this last weekend. I sat at home and I power-loaded every episode of the first season.
Borrow Life Goes On for me if I can borrow season two of Entourage.
I got a season two. I'm watching it tonight, tomorrow, and then I'll give it to you.
Okay.
I gotta work my way through
I've
that.
Almost worked my way through 22 episodes of one-hour Life Goes On episodes.
A week from Monday is when Entourage season three starts, and then Life Goes On I've never really seen.
Oh, it's awesome.
I only watched it enough so I could make jokes about the retarded kid.
No, it's so groundbreaking. I mean, it deals with, you know, of course, Corky.
At any point, are there two retarded people having sex?
No, but later on in the series, he gets married to Amanda.
Is Amanda also one of God's special flowers?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
I told you about this, where they sleep together for the first time, but they don't know what they're doing, so they just lay side by side in bed.
Oh, so sad and terrible. And here's the thing, you know the way this sick freaking country is going, it's only a matter of time before somebody starts marketing retarded porn. You know it's true. I'm not saying that it's a good thing, Sarah. I'm saying
sure that they're not already?
Now, let's think about this question. If I knew the answer to that, do you think that I would respond honestly here?
I think that you're trying to play dumb. I think you know the answer.
This is like the foot fetish thing where I'm trying to play dumb. I don't know. I don't know anything about that foot fetish. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, Mayor Potter said the FBI came to City Hall and tried to recruit spies. A man hiding under a woman's car at an Oklahoma Walmart licks her feet.
What is... Okay, see, I did not pull that story. That story was pulled by Tim Riley. I did not pull that story. In no way did I ask Tim to... You are just putting down that caffeinated water like there's no tomorrow. You're going to vibrate right out of your chair there, sister.
I'm on to number two.
Okay. What else? Is that it?
No, Tomcat have a spat. Oh. And the baboons terrorize South Africa in the first of a two-for-Tuesday double monkey wash.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You'd like to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I simply have to say that everywhere, apparently everyone on earth was listening to our show yesterday. Because everywhere I went yesterday afternoon, everywhere I've gone this morning, I've been over the building on First, the KUFO building. I was over here. Everywhere I go, people say, hey, Seagal. You know, just people high-fiving me. I didn't do anything. All we did was answer the phone and talk to a guy who is barely ambulatory. I just picked, hello, Steven. You know, that's all it was. Just like talking to the Crypt Keeper. That's all we did. But apparently it's genius. Keep doing that every day. 50 share.
Yep, I got two people on my way to the Mac stop stopping me, telling me that.
Really?
Stupid. Yep.
Hey, where to go with Seagal? It's like, what? Yep. All right. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we'll talk more about that. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, Mayor Potter says an FBI agent attempted to recruit an informant inside the offices of City Hall. He says a special agent of the Portland office of the FBI stopped a city employee, showed her badge and ID, and asked if she knew any city council employees and if she would be willing to, well, spy for the FBI. Apparently, she turned down the offer. Mayor Parta concludes that in the absence of any suspicion of wrongdoing, the agency's action smacked of Big Brother.
Okay. I wasn't even really listening there. So the FBI was recruiting somebody where?
Who? City Hall. They want spies.
To do what?
Just to spy on people.
What is it in Portland they could possibly care about?
That's true, too.
All right.
Oh, there will be no artificial timetable for withdrawal in Iraq, says White House spokesman Tony Snow, who made a statement today. He said the job is not done yet.
And
conditions on the ground will determine if and when there are troop withdrawals. Conditions on the ground tell us that our job's not done.
All right. I don't really care about that. But it does. The phrase artificial timetable does remind me of times tables, which in turn reminds me of peachy folders and my wondering about whether they still make those. And I'm not talking about the weird, the stupid kind that are blue. And I don't know when they started doing that. When did they start making peachy folders in colors other than orange?
I don't
recognize them, and they are not part of the Rick Emerson peachy folder canon. But I will say this, that there ought to be... Okay, attention, the burgeoning would-be filmmakers out there. If you're needing a quirky subject to get you into the Sundance Short Film Festival,
yes.
Here's the thing. Little 25-minute documentary about the peachy folder. You know that that's a thing that you would pay to see. If you could pay a dollar to go see that somewhere, you know, like that was playing at some film festival, you would go pay to watch that. That's exactly the kind of documentary that the kids today are interested in. This is... When I talk about things that nobody cares about and useless pop culture information, it's only useless if you don't work in the entertainment media. If you work in the entertainment media, it's fantastically useful. So someone out there, grab your camera, go find the 98-year-old guy that created the artwork for the peachy folder. Because the thing about that is the peachy folder, the orange kind. Sarah, did you have that in school?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim?
I don't think it was allowed.
No, that's right. The orange
ones with like the baseball players,
yeah.
and the hockey players. And
yeah,
stuff.
No, you went to some horrible... death camp of a school.
The school colors were green and gold, and nothing outside of that was really allowed.
But everybody defaced the folders in more or less the same way. They, you know, you put your own kind of touch on it, but everybody kind of had the same sort of graffitiing of the folder that they did. It is a unifying cultural icon that everyone used. You can't make a whole film out of it, but you could get like a good 15, 20 minutes out of that. So there you go. You just take that and run with it. Secondly, I will say that times tables, remember that crap at the inside of the peachy folder they tried to pass off a useful information? And it was always like shorthand for stuff you could never use. How many acres are in a hectare? Why? When would you ever use that? What? Whose idea was it to put that in?
If you're a city planner.
I suppose. Hey, speaking of technical information, we do want to thank the people in engineering who actually wired up the buttons over here. I believe.
No way.
Now, I'm going to test it now. I believe if I press this button... My microphone will be cut off. That's fantastic. Listen to that.
Can you turn it on and off?
Let's see if I can
turn it on
and off. Hey, I can. Can I turn Tim off? Tim, speak. Hello. Yeah, look at that.
Well, you can turn me off, but I can't reach you with it.
I have control of everything. I am king. That's fantastic.
Okay, so wow, I just like hand that. Over control back to you guys.
Yeah. So now, if I cough, I can actually.
Thank God.
But you can hear it over here. We're only like a foot apart.
You're ruining the illusion that we have a glorious palace of a studio.
You're like the puppet master now. Pull the string.
I'll wait later. I'm not gonna say it now. Hunted! All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, sadly, Mexican President Vicente Fox won't visit Oregon. Instead, he'll tour Yakima this afternoon.
Why would you go to Yakima? Oh, well, okay, I know exactly why. Never mind.
This after spending the whole day...
I know why.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it's a wonderful place. Because it's beautiful.
Beautiful countryside.
Mm-hmm. Well, he spent...
Not at all filled with illegal immigrants.
It isn't?
It is.
No.
Well, pull to the string!
He spent the whole day yesterday in Salt Lake City talking about the booming Mexican economy.
Investing in Mexico gives you the opportunity to move freely around the world with no duties, no barriers, and with strong competitive advantages.
Pull the string.
Is this sort of like a yin-yang kind of a thing where he's going from Salt Lake City to Yakima? Because Salt Lake City is a very white place. Salt Lake City is...
That's the vacation package you bought online, apparently.
I was going to say, whoever's booking your trips, friend, Salt Lake City to Yakima. Apparently, he's in training to be a DJ, because that's exactly the kind of career path that radio will take you on. How'd you like to go to Salt Lake, then Yakima, then we're going to have you go to Chico. Have you ever been to Chico? It's great. Then Pocatello, and then Spokane. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, when Fidel Castro poked fun at his weight, the governor was offended. But when his big brother started talking trash, he's still governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, was merely amused. Last November, well, apparently Castro called him the fat little brother in Florida. On Monday, President Bush told members of the National Restaurant Association that his younger brother had been very good to the restaurant industry. The fat joke didn't bother Bush this time.
I didn't appreciate Mr. Castro's comments. I find my brother's comments in good fun. And it's my duty as governor of this state to aggressively support our economy. And so
by eating.
Florida Restaurant Association can count on my continued support.
All right. I would play the Florida sounder here, but the Card-O-Matic, and I swear to God that's what it's called. I love things that end in O-Matic. The Card-O-Matic machine, Tim, do you know why this is? I can't bring up the window to add extra audio files.
No, I'm sorry. I have no idea.
And I tried to find Will, the engineer, but he's put on his cloaking device and skittered away. So I've got nothing. So I will not be able to... There he goes, the Florida sound. I can't, I'm unable to do that. So Castro called Jeb Bush fat?
Yes.
Well, he is fat. He's a corpulent little bastard.
The exotic chicken that was saved from drowning by a mouth-to-beak resuscitation more than 3 months ago has died.
Aww.
Boo Boo the chicken, who was revived after she was found floating face down in the family pond in February,
she's trying to end it
died, up. According to owner Jackie Calhoun. The foul story was featured on The Tonight Show at Animal Planet. She had seizures. I've come to the conclusion that that's what put her in the pond in the first place. The chicken was named Boo Boo because she became easily frightened.
Chicken with seizures.
She lived to lay 3 eggs before dying. Until then, Calhoun said he didn't know whether the bird was a male or a female. Boo Boo will be missed by all.
There's some sort of a pun there that doesn't involve a fowl, but I don't know what it is. Beak. 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 Careful. You'll fall into the pond. See, and I can't play
this.
You've got to
stop laughing at your own joke.
No, I would please play
like
the...
Sounds like one from Nickelodeon.
I'm sort of the inside of Laffy Taffy. Does anybody read that? Does anybody buy Bazooka? None of my sound effects work. I can't play the When I Was a Boy.
All right, you're doing a good job.
Do you have the remembered? Oh, never mind.
Now we don't need them.
You know what I have at home? It's fantastic. I have some Hebrew Bazooka Joe. I don't know if he's Bazooka Joe, he's Bazooka Hach, or, you know, whatever, something. But it's all in Hebrew. It's I can't read any of it. But we've covered the side of our refrigerator with Hebrew Bazooka Joe comics because we find them amusing. Beak careful. There you go. Here's Here's Tim Riley.
Police in Tulsa, Oklahoma, searching for a man who hid under a woman's car in a Walmart parking lot and then licked her toes as she loaded her groceries.
Imagine being that woman. You're just there.
She assumed it was a dog when she looked down but saw a man lying underneath. I felt something lick my foot. I looked at him and said, "What the hell are you doing?" That's exactly what I said. "What the hell are you doing?" The culprit got up and ran away before police arrived at the scene.
Okay.
He's described as 5'9", 150 pounds, wearing a black T-shirt and blue jeans. The victim filed a police report, and a witness also saw it happen. Oh, by the way, they can be charged with misdemeanor, battery, and outraging public decency.
Okay.
Well, Tomcat are in a spat. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes reportedly got into a big fight that ended with Holmes deciding to take baby Surrey to Ohio. He introduced the infant to family and friends. Tom, who is rumored to have a rocky relationship with Holmes' parents, won't be joining them. He told Katie he wasn't going, considering the bad relations between him and the family. An insider says Katie was really happy because he wasn't going.
I see a really, really great and terrible custody battle looming in the future.
Well, the couple allegedly had a huge argument, which ended with Katie declaring, "I'm doing this and you can't stop me."
Oh, you don't want to say that to... Whatever.
Ooh, don't mess with crazy.
He'll take out his xenon death ray or whatever.
I'm honestly surprised that the story that she's able to take the baby to Ohio. I wouldn't think that she'd be able to.
I don't know. Maybe
I wouldn't think he'd let her out.
Maybe this is disinformation. Maybe this is disinformation meant to sort of make us think that she's not really a robot under his mind control.
Or that she's not trapped inside of his mansion right now.
Seriously, in the basement. Hello? Hello? Just to passersby. He's shoving food under the door. And stay inside. All right. Yeah, never mind. Go ahead. And please tell me you didn't say Tomcat, except that it was written on the page.
It was written on the page.
All right. That's one of those things that no one says. I did hear people say Bennifer in real life occasionally.
In the media, I follow like sheep. I don't do my own investigations. I read what's in front of me.
That's the way to the top, Tim. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say Bennifer, and I heard like one guy say Brangelina once. But I don't think it really counted because he was a pundit on some VH1 show. No one says Tomcat, and if they do, I encourage you to punch those people in the face. Listen to this. Rick, useless info, that's one of the reasons I love... This will make you feel good about your taxes. That's one of the reasons I love being a teacher. Whole rooms of children are forced by law to sit in a room once a day and listen to everything I have to say. I guess I have some useful information, but it's mixed in with musings about Lost, World of Warcraft, The Office, music, and what I made for dinner the night before. I can make kids watch Dragon Ball Z and then test them on it. I can claim it's actually based loosely in Chinese mythology. I love captive audiences. It's Dan the P1 in Portland. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's today's... Virginia high school teacher accused of having sex with a student story.
Oh, is that because... Now, this should be a watch, and it would be... We started talking like 3 years ago about making it a teacher watch, because there's all these teachers having sex with their students, and then I never did, and I meant to do it this morning, and the production room was busy.
Didn't we have a hot for teacher?
We had a hot for teacher... But we did it like ad hoc one day, and I never really loaded it in. I never put it in the system. And I don't think I have it here. Wait, hold on. Just one moment. Don't want nobody go anywhere. Just stay right there. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh.
Wait. No. And, Sarah, can you turn my computer up?
It is.
All right. We'll call that. Wait, is it? Yeah. All right, so we'll, for the love of... Yeah. I don't even think I have the hook. Well, whatever. There you go. Wasn't that satisfying? Here's your teacher watch.
Well, Bonnie Sue Davis was caught inside the home of one of the boys involved in these allegations. There were two, by the way. They were discovered by the mother of the other teenager. We want to make this very clear. No sexual activity was witnessed. There was no drinking nor drugs. Everyone was fully clothed. Nevertheless, 35-year-old Bonnie Davis...
Who is hot, by the way, in a sort of... slatternly kind of way. She's not like that hideous woman yesterday whose face had grown around her spectacles. Mm-hmm. This woman is, if you like him sort of greasy and slut-like, this woman is, she's what you want to go after. She's pretty. Now, am I wrong about this? Or are these two boys also God's special children?
They are their special education students.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So picture, if you will, picture a woman. Picture an attractive 35-year-old woman.
Bonnie Sue.
And she's in there,
a darkened bedroom.
Darkened bedroom, kind of
pounding it out. Two of her male students, ages 14 and 15.
Pounding it out with two...
On a Friday night.
Two retarded boys.
In West Virginia.
In West Virginia? I didn't know that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they're not really retarded then. Maybe they're just from the neighborhood.
This is Spotsylvania County.
Spotsylvania?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought Spotsylvania was like where the free clinic was located. All right, well, whatever. There you go. Spotsylvania, kids. Can I see this?
Certainly.
Let me just see this. Here we go. Virginia high school teacher accused of having sex with two of her special education students. 35-year-old Bonnie Davis was in a darkened bedroom with two of her students Friday night in February. Police brought the charges last week after one of the boys was heard to say to the other, "I'm going with a teacher." The teacher had given the boys gifts and money. The good thing about that is you only have to give them like, you only have to give them like a dollar, and you just tell them it's a lot.
For ice cream.
Yeah. There you go. Look at this girl, though, Sarah. Look at this teacher. A, she doesn't look 35. B, she's cute. C, she looks creepy. Doesn't that look exactly like the kind of girl?
She's not a local, obviously.
No, she looks exactly like the kind of girl that would seduce two retarded boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she looks a little slutty.
She really does.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. There's your ad hoc.
And look at her eyebrows.
Oh, that's not right.
Crazy wonky.
Yeah. Hi, I'm insane. And a blues legend.
Can I get them straight?
All right. Be back after this. 503-733-2970. Coming up, CNN Radio correspondent Ann McCarthy. We'll talk about Jimmy Hoffa's bones. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
You have a cuff button.
Okay. Okay, I wasn't revealing sensitive CBS radio information there. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. You know, so email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up next hour. We'll do the top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head, according to a scientific survey that I found somewhere online. What else? Oh, and we'll talk more about the Steven Seagal thing yesterday. And because I know you wanted it, we have Kelsey Grammer talking about X-Men 3. Woo! Oh, and Adam West talking about his prostate. And also some of the worst things you've ever heard in your life. And a television traffic girl wrapping her traffic report. There he goes. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the glorious South, home of culture and barns. And it's Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
How are you?
I'm fine, Ed. Is everything all right where you are?
Well, I hope so. It's getting better now. It's certainly no worse than it was. Just another adventurous ride home in the city of Atlanta. Just amazing.
Was there some kind of unpleasantness?
Yeah, somebody got ejected from a vehicle, I guess, after being hit by a semi-tractor trailer, so.
Oh,
I guess if you thought you had a bad day, that guy probably thinks maybe it was a little worse for him. What do you think?
Is ejected from a vehicle authentic journalistic lingo for thrown out of his car?
Yeah.
Yeah, was he ejected through an opening or through an opening that he made with his body, do you think?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't get there quick enough to see it, because I always like to see it, you know?
We're with you on that. We can identify. You have no need to be filled with shame here at McCarthy. Because here's the thing. If you're ejected from your vehicle and that is thrown out of your car, that means that your ass was not wearing a seatbelt.
That's true.
It is 2006. If you smoke, you get cancer. If you don't wear your seatbelt, you get thrown out. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles and the way the sternum collapses. And I'm not saying that I have no sympathy, but I'm saying you know, they put those seatbelts there. They're not for decorative purposes. Even I know that, and I'm an idiot. I saw the greatest video online the other day. It was a guy in, I think in St. Louis, and he was, as they always are, running from the cops in his SUV, because I believe he had like a meth lab or something that he was cooking in the back of his SUV. The cops pull him over. They say, "Hey, you, what's with this meth lab?" He says, "Blah, blah, blah." They say, "Get out of the car." He says, "Screw you." Floors it. Heads down the highway in his SUV. And I'm watching, and somebody's in this whole video clip, and of course there's a news copter that catches up with him. He's leading the cops on a high-speed chase, and then the most glorious thing happens. The SUV careens off an overpass, and it's like a 50-foot drop, 100-foot drop to the ground. The SUV hits the ground. He, of course, being an idiot meth dealer, is not wearing a seatbelt. He is thrown out of the car, And then the car begins rolling. And so as the car is rolling, it throws him out. He lands on the ground, sits up, and must be thinking, hey, I made it, I'm safe, and then the car just rolls right over him. Sort of like a rolling pin kind of a thing. And it was great because it was just, you had just long enough to see him sitting up going, well, that wasn't so bad, bam, and then the SUV just rolls right over the top of him. And because he's a meth dealer, I don't have to feel any sympathy for him at all. It's kind of the best of all stories.
That is true. And, you know, he probably couldn't wear a seatbelt because he's, you know, making meth as he's driving.
That's
what
I'm saying. It's so clear. It's a win-win for everybody. You know, one less meth user in the gene pool and a little entertainment for me on an afternoon. Hey, speaking of dead people, so is it, are they, did I read this correctly? They're now pulling down or they are raising, R-A-Z, raising a barn to looking for Hoffa?
Yeah, and, you know, I saw this. The video this morning of this barn is really, looks like it's fairly new. It can't be more than 5 years old. The thing is huge. They're saying that it's going to take a couple of days to take it down, and then they're going to go from there with the foundation and all. It's on a slab, so, you know, I don't know what they're going to have to do. The FBI is going to make a determination then. Now, apparently, they say they have a really hot lead on this, and that's what they're doing.
Now, here's a question. I may have asked you this before, but there's not really any news about this, but I talk about it every day because it's fascinating, because finding Jimmy Hoffa is like finding the Loch Ness Monster, finding D.B. Cooper. It's like all that stuff to me. It's one of those great American mysteries, and I'm not a guy who appreciates the value of a mystery. This is why I quit watching Lost. I just want to know. I just want the answers to things. And so, who... what guy are they basing this all on? Who gave them this tip, and why does he know, and why did he wait so long?
They won't say. They won't say. I think it only goes back to that mobster in Detroit where they were checking a house a couple of years ago, and that didn't pan out, but I think they got some info after that, and this has now suddenly led them to this location. That's what it seems to be, but they're pretty tight-lipped about the whole thing.
All right, so if it pans out one way or the other, then I guess we'll find out, but until then, it's just a mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery right now, but, I mean, if they're going to take a barn down, and this thing is huge, I mean, this thing looks like it's about 3 football fields long. If they're going to take this thing down, I have to wonder, you know, are they really onto something? And that's what really gets your... curiosity perks.
That I'm saying. I'm all wondering about it. Hey, just as a side note, is it true, and I don't know that it can be, is it true that they haven't rebuilt the levees from the hurricane last year?
Yeah, they got a real problem. They're not even close yet. They were supposed to have this all done, and they're behind schedule. They had some real shoddy equipment, apparently, that some of the stuff doesn't even mesh. You know, when they get the material to go side to side on the thing to lock it up. They were going higher with these levees, and the stuff is not good.
And they're already saying they've got like 8 hurricanes that are going to be coming this year, right? Isn't that what they said?
Yeah. They got this 4 to 6 is supposed to be pretty bad. They're saying, I guess 4 to 6 could, at least 4 would be category 3 at least.
All right. So I guess the question that I'm asking as a journalist is just so I can be ready, who can I blame for this?
Well, you know, good question. It's a lot with the government, the federal government, but it's also the inspectors, because they said they were not inspecting these levees like they should have been, and that's a problem. So now it's just been so complicated that, you know, you're at this point where you're trying to do patchwork on patchwork, and it's just not working. I mean, when I was down there, Rick, I got to tell you, people were telling me that they were reporting cracks in the 17th Street levee. And they said nothing was done. They contacted city officials, and they went even higher than that, and they got no answers.
All right. Well, I hope they kind of get their act together, man, because it's going to be a bad. I think the nation will kind of, and I'm not holding you responsible or anything, but I think the nation will kind of give you a pass, like once. But I mean, you know, the hurricane's coming. The stuff still isn't rebuilt. It's gonna look badly for everybody involved. So,
oh, absolutely. Right. They had a drill yesterday down there, and they had another communication snafu where they were supposed to evacuate a FEMA trailer station that they had down there.
Right.
And that didn't work out. So, you know, things aren't going so well.
Whole country's going to hell, Ed.
It is. Well, they're saying that if something happens, bird flu, whatever, you know, you're on your own.
That's the official word from CNN. There you go. Excellent. All right, my friend, go enjoy the rest of your day. Try not to be stuck in any more traffic jams or anything.
I won't. I'm actually pulling into the house right now.
Excellent. All right. Just have yourself an adult beverage and feel better.
I will. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Thank you. There you go. That's a CNN radio correspondent.
Well, he was speaking to you while driving, apparently.
Really? That's
yeah,
fantastic. These guys are pros.
He is.
Man, Ed McCarthy's a guy that we didn't really have on a lot when we did the CNN guys last time because we had Pat St. Clair on. Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever happened to her?
Well, anyway. Oh, hey, well, somebody just sent us another teacher story. Hey, you got to hear this one. Hey, hold on. Let me, teacher accused of arriving at school drunk. Okay, now listen to this. I was just talking about St. Louis. Dateline St. Louis. Best opening sentence to a story this month. I don't care what news story you find. This is the best opening story, opening line you will hear all month. Dateline St. Louis. A middle school teacher was arrested after police said he showed up at school drunk, asked one of his students to fetch him cognac, then fondled one student and made a sexual advance on another. There you go. Oh, apparently he asked a 13-year-old girl to retrieve a bag containing a bottle of cognac from his car. He then rubbed the thigh and touched the buttocks of a 13-year-old girl and made a sexual remark at someone else. So, there you go. Oh, and they found another bottle of cognac hidden in his classroom. Well, we've all got to have our drink of choice, I guess. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, South Africa's commuter rail system may call in the military to bolster security on Johannesburg area trains after gangs of men hurled passengers to their deaths out the windows.
I'm sorry? All I heard was hurled men to their deaths.
That's correct, yes.
Where?
This is the rail system right outside of Johannesburg.
My life is cheap there.
Apparently, it's a national crisis. Two passengers died Tuesday after being thrown from moving trains, bringing the total deaths to 18 since last April. And with that in mind, our Monkey Watch takes us to South Africa.
Here's your Monkey Watch.
Two for Tuesday.
Now, this is part of this we have sitting around.
And part of it's brand new.
And part of it, but we haven't gotten to either of them. But one of them is from last week, and then we've freshened it up with a second one. It's like putting a new piece of gum in with the old one.
All right, so here we go. This is headline, Baboons, Hairy, Hungry, and in the House. Unruly gangs are raiding the expensive homes that line the spectacular coast of South Africa's Cape Peninsula, cleaning up pantries, emptying fridges, and defecating on designer furnishing.
Excellent.
It's baboon versus human in a string of wealthy oceanfront communities 30 miles from the trendy center of Cape Town, a top tourist destination.
I sense a video game coming where it's like monkey fighting or you have monkeys that did a run. Okay, right? I'm telling you, here's another idea. You can just have this one. Just giving ideas away today. It's one of those days where I just got creativity to burn. Here's what you do. Video game where you are a monkey on a rampage through the city, demolishing homes, punching children. There you go. And that's it. That's the whole game. It's like a first-person shooter, but you're a monkey. And instead of shooting, you just use your powerful monkey things. Whatever. That really fell apart at the end.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're brilliant.
Shut your mouth. You'd play that. Well, you wouldn't, but Will would. Will and
Sean,
all of the guys over there at the Casa de Geek over there, the engineering room, they play that.
You don't want to be friends with them. You're always staring at them and eavesdropping.
They're fascinating. They were
playing the game of the state. There's a map of the state, and they were shooting darts at it.
I walked by the engineering room today, and they're all. It's like a bad Office Space scene just come to life. I walk by, and it's all of the engineers in there, all of them overpoweringly white. Listening to gangster rap, bobbing their heads, and throwing jelly beans at one another. It's the best moment I've ever seen anywhere. If I could be filming that, I could be selling that like direct to DVD, like $19.99 a pop. Anyway, first person shooter, but yeah, you're a monkey, breaking things, punching children. There you go. Here's Tim Riley with
Here's the second half of this story. It is headlined, Pio, 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 Hack, 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 Hack. Let's get out of here. This is monkey talk, apparently.
I'm sorry, can you just say the headline one more time?
Certainly. Pio, 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 hack, 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 hack. That is monkey talk for let's get out of here, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
Yes, monkeys are able to string together a simple sentence, as you just heard, according to research that offers the first evidence that animals might be capable of a key feature of language. British scientists have discovered that the putty-nosed monkey of Nigeria sometimes communicates by combining sounds into a sequence that has different meaning from any of the component calls.
So this is the monkeys don't just have simple words, they can actually speak in sentences.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, the findings suggest that the rudiments of syntax, a basic component of human language, may be more widespread among primates than is generally thought.
Gonna kill us all.
This sounds like one of those boring film strips you were forced to watch in school.
No, but it's got the best. You want to know why I picked this story?
Why is that?
Okay, can I see that for a second? I'll give you the key. Here's why. Okay. Here's why.
Pio, pio, pio. Hack, 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 hack.
I miss the shortcut. I miss having the shortcut in here.
Well, we're getting one eventually, aren't we?
Sure. Well, not the shortcut. We'll be getting a thing like that.
We'll have to go to a swap meet to find one of those.
Seriously, that's
why
like...
not go buy some 20-year-old technology?
Sarah is attached to it. Sarah likes old technology. You still have a cassette deck in your car.
I do. I love it.
So Sarah still has a cassette deck in her car and won't buy things online because she's terrified of like Asians stealing her stealing her information.
I also have a cassette deck in my Volvo.
Hi, we're on the cutting edge here at CBS Radio.
I play my old Simon and Garfunkel.
I listen to Bob Dylan.
Let's go pick up some Bobby Soxers. Okay, but I only pulled this story for this reason. The putty-nosed monkey.
Yes.
Has two main alarm call sounds. One of them, which warns other animals against a lurking leopard, is known... Okay, this is how you know it's not an American newspaper, by the way. If you ever wanted actual... If you ever wanted to know when you're reading something that's not designed for Americans, because Americans are largely stupid, the putty-nosed monkey... And Americans have no sense of style either, sometimes linguistically. The putty-nosed monkey has two main alarm call sounds. One, which warns against a lurking leopard, is known... Wait for it. Onomatopoetically, as a piow.
Okay, I think you're losing people.
In no...
I think you're well on your way to...
Never going
to
get that Walmart demographic. Now, in no world would an American newspaper ever put onomatopoetically in an article. They get like nine, but they're British, of course. They created it, so, I mean, they get to use it. The use of any version of the word onomatopoeia. I mean, there you go, kids. Right there. That's...
Who wants to hear about X-Men?
Onomatopoetically.
Oh, I guess we have to close up the monkey watch.
Oh, fine, jerks. All right, there you go. There's your monkey watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Onomatopoetically. Did you guys study onomatopoeia?
I'm sure I did.
Nope.
All right, fine. Oh, sense of language in the spading republic. You kids today with your onions and your belts.
Get high on sports.
You, let's all wear poodle skirts. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the X-Men are back in action this weekend with the third installment of the comic book adventure, Ooh. X-Men The Last Stand.
Lucky us.
And the best reason to go see it is Kelsey Grammer, who plays Beast.
Imagine that statement. The best reason to go see it is Kelsey Grammer. How low has the best reason to go see it is Frank Stallone. How low has the bar been set?
Well, apparently he was asked if he enjoys fighting in the movies.
Fighting is fun for actors. It's something we learn to do. It's something you do at school. You get broadswords and you know, spears and pikes and all kinds of stuff. And knives, guns. I'm a boy. And I'm a profound boy. I'm still playing in the playground.
And ponderous. And then the other boys dress up the underclassmen as girls on late nights.
Kelsey Grammer competes against Al Gore this weekend as his film called The Inconvenient Truth comes out.
The Arctic is experiencing faster melting. If this
is completely edited,
sea level worldwide would go up 20 feet.
That is edited to make it sound like he's less tedious and ponderous than he really is.
The trailer's fine.
Listen to that sentence, though, how it's edited together to make it sound like he's speaking more quickly.
The Arctic is experiencing faster melting.
Yeah, that I don't really speak like this, and really pointlessly and long. Okay, it's 503-733, blah, blah, blah. Aaron Geek in the City, blah, 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 Naboo, says, Rick, yet another reason why I love the city. I just walked through Piney Square. A wrinkled old evangelical nut job is yelling at a group of Scientologists who are trying to give away free stress tests. Sweet. We should have somebody take a cell phone down there and talk to some Scientologists while they're on the phone with us. We should take the
Celebrity Scientology Center is just right down the street.
Scientology, the Celebrity Center. You're not going to impress me by spelling things like you're in Britain. Onomatopoeia.
Why do they call it the Celebrity Scientologist Center?
I don't know. When's the last time you went in? I don't know. Maybe you can go. Maybe Sally Struthers hanging out in there or something.
John Travolta sitting there having a sandwich.
So they like divvy out the celebrities?
Having his head lanced. Can you take this down a little bit? It's kind of swollen. I'm sorry, what?
They have a celebrity representative at every center?
I don't know. Now I'm talking like John Travolta.
Do we have any local celebrity Scientologists that we know of?
Just what's her name? Bart Simpson. Nancy Cartwright.
She resides locally?
Well, she didn't live here.
Oh.
I don't think. I don't know. I don't think we have any local celebrity Scientologists. I don't really care. But I will say this, that here's the thing, is that my friend Todd took the Scientology test one time just for chuckles, to amuse himself. Like, he was bored, and he's walking downtown, somebody's like, would you like to? And I don't understand. This is all my paraphrasing, because I don't know what they really say. But it's a whole lot of, like, do you sometimes feel that things in your life could be better? You know, it's a whole lot of, like, do you sometimes... blah, 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 insert question to which the only obvious answer is yes, therefore making you feel like they have insight into your soul. And then he went, well, sure. And he went in and he said, now, again, I don't know if this is true, but his telling of the Scientology stress blah, blah, blah story was that they took him in and they sat him at like a rickety card table in a room with like one of those fluorescent lights overhead that's like... with like gnats buzzing around and like an old... like the old metal fan with the streamers on the front and like cockroaches. And then as soon as he took the test, they took him into, like, whatever, the happy Hubbard room or whatever. And that was, like, glorious and, like, wood-paneled and, like, deep plush carpeting and air conditioning. So I'm kind of curious to take that test. But, of course, I don't want them anywhere near me. And so maybe we could take it over the phone. Maybe the Scientologists could test it over the phone so that they can't actually touch us. And so we can keep our hands and feet away from their mouths. Maybe. I don't really care that much. It's 503-733-2970. Rick. Maybe next time you could interview Corky from Life Goes On. That would be a definite step up in terms of intelligibility. There you go. That's any sense? Yeah. Rick, about the peachy folder, the Trapper Keeper killed the peachy folder. You know it's true. By the way, Steven Seagal's ass is 1 hectare. Okay, that's Jim in Portland. Hey, listen to this. More useless info. The picture of the woman on a ski lift on the original Peachy folder is from a picture that was taken on Mount Hood. There was a display in Timberline which shows the original picture on the Peachy. There you go. See, you learn something every day. You know what that is? That is locality right there. That's how you know that this program cares about Portland and the outlying areas.
You should never draw attention to that stuff.
I'm sorry. Should it be more underneath the radar?
It kind of takes away from the locality by bragging about how local it is.
No, I'm saying it's local. It's local and it's relatable. And stuff. I don't know why people are calling.
Not every day can be Steven Seagal.
Why? Wow! What is that? Today's genius. We had onomatopoeia and a guy swilling cognac and, you know, demanding that students fetch him alcohol. Should I be taking these calls?
Sure, why not? Sure. It's a talk show.
Hi, Sir Rick Eversicho. Who's this?
This is Lauren.
Of course it is. Hi, Lauren. How can I help you? You gonna call and bust my chops about something else? What? What do you got?
No, actually, believe it or not, I have a copy of the Scientology test.
Really?
If you would like it.
Now, one of those things where if you take that out of the celebrity centra, they sue you and they cut off your head or something?
Well, actually, I have with my candles that you so lovely advertised for me. Appreciate that.
Those are the ones that caught on fire in my kitchen.
Yeah,
a huge jet turbine. Yeah.
Now, let's not talk about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I have my booth down at Saturday Market.
Do they have a booth at Saturday Market?
No, I have a booth, and they beelined a booth for some reason.
Just because they know you can't leave.
I think so, yeah.
They know you're trapped there. You can't leave, or you have to run and leave your possessions behind.
Well, they probably, you know, looked at me like, oh, look at that poor bastard. We need to help him.
Look at that puffy guy over there. Let's go. Let's go take a handle on it. Let's solve his problems. He's selling candles. Clearly something's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Probably mumbles like Steven Seagal.
No, drop that off.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
It's very long and boring, just so you know. It's like 250 questions.
Well, we can split up between the three of us.
Yeah, that's okay.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I can. We can boil things down here.
And it totally is set up. So every question you have to, it's like
Well, the oldest sales trick in the book is to ask you a series of questions unrelated to the sale to which the answer is yes.
Exactly.
And it's just to get you in the rhythm of saying yes. You're supposed to do the same thing when you're trying to seduce a woman. You're supposed to ask her a whole lot of, like, do you like things? You know, yes. Really? Do you like puppies? Yes. Do you need to breathe air? Yes. Would you like to have sex with me? Yes. You know, and you're supposed to just get them in the rhythm of saying yes.
What did you not love about this?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, yeah, drop that off, man.
Cool.
Great, thank you. That's Lauren.
Bye.
Rick Emerson Show, who be this?
This be Erica. I'm not, like I told Sarah, I'm not a Scientologist, and I'm not a celebrity or anything interesting.
But
I'm unemployed, man, and, you guys are the reason why I get out of bed in the afternoon, okay?
Okay, I thought you were going to ask for a job for a second there, and that's...
No, hey, but if you're looking for anybody really outstanding, I am available.
No, stay away from the light, Erica. You're unemployed, and then this show is what?
It's what gets me out of bed.
Really?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I had to find excuses to leave work in the middle of the day to listen to your show.
Now, what kind of
And now I don't have to, I can just turn you on and here we are.
Saints be praised. What kind of a job did you have?
I was I was an administrative assistant for a highfalutin executive director for a highfalutin association.
Oh, that's a waste of a life anyway.
Yeah, seriously.
No,
that's a rodent.
Kidding, brother.
That's a rodent, though.
So much sweeter.
What kind of a company was it?
What's that?
What kind of a company was it?
It was a non-for-profit.
Oh, I was going to say, if you worked for Phil Knight, you can just tell us.
No, it wasn't Phil Knight. Phil Knight. I worked for the State Dental Association.
Oh,
not to be confused with the dental insurance company.
Dental. How on earth would you end up the executive, quote, assistant at the State Dental? Did you wake up every day and want to kill yourself?
After about year one and a half, yes.
God damn. And so when they fired you, look, I know it doesn't seem this way, but that's a blessing, Erica.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be in that job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My life is so much better, and, hey, don't let the unemployment folks hear that, but...
No, it's true. No, we always tell people this. Enjoy your unemployment. Take the man for all that you can is our motto
about
here.
About 6 months worth, baby. Excellent. I am on vacation.
Excellent. Attention, advertisers. You too can reach this demographic. All right.
Thanks again.
Erica, thank
really
you so much.
I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you, Erica.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There you go. All right. There you go. That's exactly the kind of call the salespeople love to hear.
We get her out of bed at noontime every day.
Remember
that's
that?
The way to live.
No, it's true. Do you remember that? Man, and Rush Limbaugh back in the day when he was good, Rush Limbaugh used to, I don't think he says it. I think he said it years and years and years. But he had that great line where he would start his program every day because his program went on at noon East Coast time, where he was. And he would have this whole... across the fruited plain, and then he was, if you are perhaps a welfare recipient, just getting out of bed, which is just like the best line ever. And there you go. There's a living embodiment. There's Erica right there. Okay, well, we got more calls to get to. Hi, Sarah. How are you doing today? Are you distracted by Steven Seagal's presence on our MySpace page? You can admit it.
No, I'm hungry, and I have to go to the bathroom.
All right. And did you eat lunch? You should have eaten
before
you came.
I know, I'm going to go make it at the break.
All right. So here's what we have to get to today. We got to talk more about Steven Seagal, because why not? What else? We got Jim Roop coming up. We got the top five songs most likely to be stuck in your head. People are asking questions about the Hawthorne Bridge, because we got Horns Across the Hawthorne, which is coming up on 666 on June 6th, 2006. And we're going to try to get as many people as we can to line the Hawthorne Bridge. And at 6.06 p.m., we will all do the massive devil horn salute, and we'll get a photograph of it and so forth. But people are asking how we're measuring the Hawthorne Bridge and from where to where and how many people we need. And we talk about that. What else? And other stuff. So, and we got these calls to get to as well. We should break now, though. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We should just set up our own recruiting center downtown where we just test people. And then whatever the answer is, we just tell them the answer is always to listen to us. That's a great idea. We should write that down. Okay. And then we'll get missionaries that go door to door. And it's like, we're on a mission to rock. We'll be back. Onomatopoeia. You stay there.